You're listening to The Football Hour with Alex Mearns.
Hello and welcome to The Football Hour with Alex Mearns. How the dancing devil are you, my fantastic football friends and my supreme seven of the best bros? Hasn't it felt like an absolute age since we last spoke? A lot can change in 7 days in football. West Brom players stole a taxi, probably so they can send Alan Pardew back to wherever he came from. Man City got beat by a man who is literally on fire. VAR produced another weird performance at Huddersfield in the FA Cup, making everyone think, can we be vast with video technology? And of course, Leeds lost. Oh no, we didn't. We drew 2-2. Getting one step closer to that elusive win. What a life we lead in football. On this very special Lancastrian podcast, we are taking the National Express to Burnley. We are heading to Turf Moor, home of the Claret, to count down the seven of the best from Burnley Football Club. I wanted to desperately do this pod because Burnley have been overachieving in the modern Premier League, but I want to take a trip back through their past and look at their greatest players and see what they have achieved as a club in the former decades. Last week, we crowned Willie Miller as Aberdeen's greatest ever player. Big love and thanks goes out to every seven of the best player and football friend who gave that podcast a listen. I want to tell you what's going down on this particular pod, though, and what the premise of this podcast series is. Each week, we'll be going through different clubs up and down the football land and deciding who were the seven of the best from that particular club's history. The reason I give you these biblical pods where we count down the seven of the best is because this podcast is kindly sponsored by the greatest football game in the land, 7otb.com. If seven of the best was a basketball player, it would be Michael Jordan and LeBron James rolled up into one brilliant basketball player. It's that good. 7OTB is a free-to-play game where you pick your seven of the best predictions from the top eight football leagues in the country. All you've got to do is pick five wins, one banker, which is the team you most strongly feel will win that game week, and one draw. Us lucky seven of the best players try each week for the £250 individual prize. Meaning, if you score the best score on the game that week, the money's yours. Secondly, though, there's £700 to win. That's for the team cash prize, and it's on offer every week as well. That's where you and your mates combine all your scores together. And if you're the highest scoring team, you win the £700. The big prize, though, the Champions League, the FA Cup and the Premier League all rolled into one massive prize is the £1 million seven of the best has on offer if you get seven of the best results 4 game weeks in a row. And best of all, listeners, it's free to play. All you've got to do is head to 7otb.com. Every week, I think of one new thing I would spend my £1 million on. And I think I'd put some of my money towards a flight out to Barcelona to watch the possible court case between Gareth Barry, Boaz Myhill, Jake Livermore, Johnny Evans, and that taxi driver. I'd love to see Alan Pard turn up and be like, "Sorry, lads, I did give them 11 p.m. curfew, but they just don't listen to me." Anyway, what's coming up on the podcast? We'll be picking our seven of the best players to ever play for the Clarets. We'll be giving you the opportunity to pick your seven of the best Burnley boys via At The Football Hour. I'll be talking very sheepishly about my embarrassingly low score on 7OTB last week. We'll have a gander at how Ledley King's legends got on and see what are his key talking points from last weekend were. Rochdale fans, Mr. King is bigging you up, so keep your ears to the headphones for that. Then, we'll be walking you through my predictions for week 30 and telling you how to get your predictions in by 3:15 on Saturday the 24th of Feb. But first, football friends, let's kick off the show by counting down the seven of the best Burnley players ever. This podcast will certainly not be mentioning the likes of Amadou Sanogo, Mark Kendall or Steve Morgan. Such a bad player, Sunday league teams would have turned him down for a match. What we'll be doing is focusing on the cream of the claret crop. So we'll start from seven and work our way to the best player to ever play for Burnley. Here we go. At number seven, Harry Potts. Potts never enjoyed the fame of Busby, Shankly, or a dozen other football managers of his era, nor did he court club-like controversy or attract headlines for matters unrelated to the game. Yet arguably, the achievement of this gentle northeasterner in leading unfashionably little Burnley to the league championship in 1960 and maintaining the claret stature as a leading power in the land for several seasons afterwards was a more remarkable achievement than his peers. That Potts garnered only limited kudos from the public, although football insiders were in no doubt as to his worth, was due partly to his own unassuming personality, but also to the fact that Burnley had a fiery figurehead in the chairman, Bob Lord, who was ever ready to shout the odds on his club's behalf. Their complementary characters melded ideally. There were two major strands to Potts' success. First, he was obviously an exceptionally shrewd strategist. No one mentioned 4-4-2 in the late 50s and early 60s, but that was the system he often employed, enabling a team blessed with few stars to compete with and frequently outdo the big city battalions. Secondly, his sincerity and genuine concern for the young men in his charge turned Burnley into a family club and fostered a rare team spirit. And number six on the chart, Paul Gazza Gascoigne. If one was to ask a random member of the general public to name a famous English footballer, you wouldn't be surprised to hear the name Paul Gascoigne. Gazza is famous for being a brilliant yet controversial football player, showing outstanding skill on the international stage, scoring great goals and being as daft as a brush. He is one of the few footballers to book a referee, receive death threats from the IRA, having his nuts grabbed by Vinnie Jones, and then sign for Burnley FC. Walter Smith left Goodison Park and was replaced by Preston's David Moyes, and it was inevitable that Gazza was going to leave too. So Burnley manager Stan Ternan brought him to Turf Moor. Burnley, although being inconsistent result-wise, were pushing for a playoff place in the First Division. But unlike the signing of Ian Wright 2 years earlier, Claret's fans seemed a bit split on the signing of the 34-year-old. It was certainly a gamble by Ternan and the Burnley board. Was Gazza in the right form physically and mentally to pull on the claret and blue shirt? The documents were not signed in time for him to make his debut against Preston, but he was introduced to the crowd before the game. Watching from the Bob Lord stand, Gazza had the pleasure of witnessing David Johnson playing his socks off in his Burnley debut. Gazza wore the 34 shirt, eventually made his debut in a 1-1 draw against Bradford City at Turf Moor. As with the signing of Wright, Burnley's attendances increased and the Gazza merch sold like hotcakes. But on the whole, his spell at Burnley was an uneventful one. Number 5. Ralph Coates. He is quite certain that it was his family's neighbourly connection with the Potts family that gave him the confidence to come to Burnley for a trial, and his mother the peace of mind that enabled her to let him go. His mother knew Harry Potts' parents, and this allowed her to overcome her reluctancy to let the very young Ralph leave the village. A job as electrician at the local pit seemed a certainty on leaving school until his mother gave the go-ahead for him to attend the trial at Burnley. If he failed, they both reasoned there was a job back at home waiting for him. I'm sure that if he had been any other club, she would have been reluctant for me to go, but she would not have stood in my way. The fact that it was Harry Potts at Burnley meant that she knew that I would be in good hands and was a major factor in me leaving Hetton. That's what Ralph Coates had to say. As a young lad, Coates never set foot outside County Durham and nearby Northumberland. It made Burnley seem half the world away. It was his half-brother Bob, as well, who also encouraged him to take the journey to Burnley. Coates was capped four times by England and scored the winner for Spurs in the 1973 League Cup final victory over Norwich. He had started his career at Burnley and also played for Leyton Orient. Number four, Brian Miller. He joined the club in the 50s to start off his Burnley career, and when he retired in 1996, he'd spent all but just over 3 years between 1983 and 86 at Turf Moor as an office boy, a player, a captain, coach, manager on two occasions, and finally, chief scout. He was the first of the championship team of the 1959-60 season to leave Burnley, a man who was dubbed Mr. Burnley by so many. It's an understatement to say that Brian saw the highs and lows of the club. In 1960, he was the left half in the title-winning team. He played in all 42 games that season, scoring three goals, and in total made 455 League and Cup appearances, scoring 37 goals. Number three, Leighton James. I would think many Burnley supporters who started watching the club in the early 70s would consider Leighton James as one of their favourite ever Burnley players, as he played a starring role in the Claretts winning promotion back to and then establishing themselves in the First Division. It was a good time to be watching Burnley. Over a three-year period from 72 to 75, there is no doubt that James, or Taffy to most Burnley fans, showed some fantastic form during that time. Incredibly, he was still a young player, and as the 74-75 season drew to a close, he was still only 22. He played nearly 280 games for the Claretts over two spells and scored nearly 60 top flight goals in the process. He might be back in his native Wales now, but there's still a bit of Burnley in Leighton James, and there's still great memories of him for all of the Burnley fans who saw him play in the claret and blue shirt, and I'm sure many of us would have him in our all-time seven of the best Burnley players. Number two, Jimmy Adamson. In 62, the footballer Jimmy Adamson, who died at the age of 82, had his finest individual season as a player. He was voted English Footballer of the Year, captain Burnley to an FA Cup final they sadly lost to Spurs, and was selected for the England squad that Walter Winterbottom took to Chile for that summer's World Cup. Adamson, who also acted as assistant coach, was not selected to play in the tournament. Indeed, he never won a senior England cap, and was disgusted when fellow player sat on his suitcase on arriving at the team base and announced, "I'm homesick already." Though 62 was a landmark year for Adamson, he will best be remembered as the ever-present captain of the Burnley team which won the league championship in the 1959-60 season. This was a tremendous achievement for a small, unfashionable club that lived off its wits, the generosity of its pork butcher chairman, Bob Lord, and the skill of its scouts and coaches. Competing in the European Cup the following season, Burnley were not disgraced. They eliminated Rems, twice previously beaten finest against the mighty Real Madrid, and looked set for the semi-finals after defeating Hamburg 3-1 in the first leg at Turf Moor. But having reached the semi-finals of both the League and FA Cups, Burnley paid the penalty for their success, being obliged to play five matches in 14 days before the return leg in Hamburg. They went down and out, 4-1, to give an aggregate of 5-4 with Uwe Stieler, Hamburg and West Germany's prolific centre-forward, scoring twice. Never a spectacular player, he was, however, a consummate half-wing, winning the ball with firm tackles, using the ball smartly, competing strongly in the air. He seldom missed a game, but seldom scored either, netting just 17 goals in 486 appearances over 17 years. Finally, Burnley's greatest ever player, Jimmy McIlroy. 497 appearances, 131 goals. Jimmy, or just Jimmy Mac to most Burnley fans, who saw him play is now President James McIlroy, MBE, Freeman of the Borough of Burnley. It's a fancy title for a modest man, but every part of it is so well deserved. He received the Freedom of the Borough in late 2008. He can now walk sheep down St James Street, something no one else is permitted to do. But as Willie Irvin told a Burnley paper, he's such a lazy bugger that if he wanted to do it, he'd probably get me to do it for him. In March 1950, when manager Frank Hill parted with £8,000 to sign him from the Irish League club Glentoran, the 18-year-old quickly settled into life at Turf Moor. By October, just days before his 19th birthday, he made his first team debut at Sunderland after the sale of Harry Potts to Everton. The reviews from those who had been watching the reserve team suggested that once this lad was in the first team, it would be impossible to dislodge him. And so it proved. From that day until his shock transfer to Stoke in February 1963, he was just about the first name on the team sheet. No player has bettered his 439 post-war league appearances for Burnley, a figure he shares with John Angus. Only Ray Poynter has bettered his 116 league goals, and that is some return for a player who today would be considered a midfield player, even though he did take the penalties. He won 55 caps for Northern Ireland and played for them in the World Cup finals in 58 in Sweden. Of those, 51 were won whilst with Burnley, a club record. Jimmy Mac wasn't just about records. He was about how good a player he was. He really was a star. The fans said it and the players said it. Some years ago, they were talking to Brian Miller about him, and Brian simply said, "The best player I have ever seen in a claret and blue shirt." He is seven of the best and the Football Hour's greatest ever Clarets player. If you do not agree with any of my picks and wish to create your own seven of the best Burnley players, tweet at the Football Hour using the hashtag 7OTBClarets with your selections. Now, on to 7OTB.com matters. The boss of seven of the best is Ledley King, as I keep saying. Ledley King likes to do an article called 7 Talking Points on the Weekend Games. You can read the full article on our website. Since retiring, he likes to keep us up to date, us players informed with his latest opinions on the latest football results and transfers. This week, Ledley was of course talking about Spurs and their FA Cup match with Rochdale. Mr. King had this to say. Spurs were held to a 2-2 draw in the FA Cup after some late drama at Spotland Stadium on Sunday. The same result the Spurs boys had earned against Juve at the Allianz Stadium earlier in the week. But this time against League One's bottom side, Rochdale, it was a frustrating afternoon for Spurs, but a fairy tale ending for the Dell. That's the magic of the FA Cup. Spurs and Rochdale are both available to be picked for your 7 of the best game week predictions, so get on that. As well as writing us articles, Ledley likes to get involved with the playing of seven of the best, like we all do. He has a pretty cool team on the game. You know it by now. Robbo, Sean Wright Phillips, Titus Bramble, Jermaine Genus, Robbie Keane, Peter Crouch and the legend Ledley King. The legend scored 59 points last week, finishing just outside the top 30 in a very tough week. Tell me about it. JJ bagged 14 points while Crouchy grabbed 12 and Ledley, Paul Robinson and Robbie Keane got 11. Sean Wright Phillips and Titus Bramble got 7, which is utterly shocking. But coming on to my results, it's not that bad. Firstly, let me say, if you want to set up your teams like Ledley has done, all you need to do is go onto our website, go into Manage My Team section on 7 of the Best, send your mates an email or WhatsApp invite so they can just click the link, go onto 7 of the Best, put their team in, put their selections in and join your team. Right, enough of Ledley and his Premier League legends. I want to talk about last game week for me and then how I'm going to turn round my luck. Here were my results. I went for a away win. And they were my banker, Wolves, away at Preston. Guess what? It was a draw. Then I went for an away win, Peterborough at Blackpool. It was a draw. Then, finally, I got 3 points. Charlton beat MK Dons at home. Away win scored me 3 points. Then I got 0 points because I went for Shrewsbury at home to Rotherham. Rotherham decided to get an away win, which they never normally do. Then I went for an away win for Accrington Stanley, atop of the league. No, it was a draw. Swindon, finally, another 3 points. And then I went for a draw between Cheltenham Town and Wycombe Wanderers. I don't know why, because Wycombe are in insane form, and they won 2-0. Scoring me just 1 point more than Sean Wright Phillips and Titus Bramble, I got 8 points, which is utterly shocking. As a Seven of the Best brand ambassador and the person who creates their podcast, I should be doing better. And this is why I've picked these selections for my game week 30. This is how I'm going to do better. I've gone for wins for Liverpool, Derby, Villa, Borough, and my banker is Wigan at home to Rochdale. My draw, I've gone for my team, Leeds United, as my draw. Can you believe that? I've just that little confidence in the boys at the moment. To enter your predictions, all you got to do is head to our website, 7otb.com, to set up your profile and new teams with your mates. Then, just like I have, insert your seven of the best game week selections. Remember, you must make your game week 30 selections by 3:15 this Saturday. It's free to enter, and you can try and play your way to that £1 million. You are always 4 weeks away from that milli. Lastly, follow at Seven of the Best Football on Twitter and hit the like button on Facebook for the latest stats to help decide which teams to pick. But we are here. We are at the end of our Burnley Seven of the Best. They are having a tremendous season in the Premier League, and they have provided us with a brilliant Seven of the Best programme. Thank you so much to 7OTB for sponsoring this pod. Thank you to you, the football friends. And I will just say goodbye. I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to The Football Hour with Alex Mearns.